The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I thought we'd begin today the way I've been beginning the last times I've been here, with open questions. If there are any questions about your practice, we can take 10 minutes or so to start with practice questions.
Well, as usual, I don't really have a question, but I welcome the opportunity to just mention something about how it's going for me. In my last retreat, I finally, after all these years, I've gotten to where the retreat was very relaxed. Because my mind chatters so much. That's hard, actually, because there's usually some emotional content associated with the thoughts, and so be face-to-face with that. Not so easy, but and little things used to really be hard, just having to do the chores or even just brushing my teeth or taking a shower or anything that interrupted the routine used to bug me. So it's finally gotten to the point where I can just be with what is and be relaxed about it. My body's more comfortable. And if I have to talk to the cook while I'm doing my yogi job for instructions, that doesn't throw me off anymore. It feels a lot better. What's next?
Well, first, I think I'll just highlight the piece about the relaxation and the, with our practice, it's so much more. Smooth in a way when we allow ourselves to relax, as opposed to, especially in this culture, we have a tendency to do and to fix and to strive and to try to figure out how to do this mindfulness thing, and cultivating an attitude of relaxation and just a kind of gentle being with moment after moment, and not trying to have an idea. I think one of the big things that you pointed to is not necessarily having an idea around what it would mean to have good practice, or the idea around talking to the cook that gets in the way of practice. So the very idea that talking to the cook gets in the way of practice is what gets in the way of practice, not the actual talking to the cook. And so that more relaxation around, okay, this is what's happening. There's one scholar talks about, what he says is the practice of mindfulness is continually being with the question, how can I be with just this very experience right now? So that can bring in some relaxation also, to realize, to let go of that agenda that it has to look a certain way, or I have to get so concentrated or whatever, So it really begins to unfold more smoothly when we lose that agenda. And then what we find, I think what you're pointing to, what's next actually, is that the mindfulness gets more continuous because we're not fighting with what is. So talking with the cook, we can be mindful. It's more of an ordinary kind of mindfulness. It's not like deep noticing, the every little changing sensation. It's kind of more ordinary mindfulness. But it is mindfulness, and then having that carry through when we get back to the cushion, the mind is not agitated about the fact that it talked to the cook. I remember on some retreats, I'd have to have a conversation with somebody for some reason, and I'd go back to my sitting spot, and I'd sit there for a moment, rising, being with the breath, in, out, in, out. Oh, that conversation, that's gonna take me forever to get settled down. Oh, back in, out. Oh, that conversation is going to take me forever to get settled down. Back to the breath. Okay, in, out. Why did I have to go talk to that person? That other person shouldn't have... And it was just basically the mind complaining about the fact that it had to talk that was in the way of the settling down. So the kind of opening to whatever is happening really allows a continuity of practice to unfold. Just whatever's happening, moment to moment, whatever's happening, we can bring our mindfulness to that. And that's where the insight begins to deepen. So I'd just encourage to continue in that direction and cultivate the mindfulness. Notice the places where your mindfulness gets lost and see, can mindfulness go there too? Yeah, thank you. Sure.
I think maybe it must be that I have a weird physiology or something, but when I meditate, my body temperature goes through the roof, and I can end up being soaking wet.
Mm.
Right now, the back of my hair is all wet, and I really don't understand why this happens, because at home, when I meditate, and I got a room where I do it, I'll come out, and my wife will see me, and I look like I ran 5 miles, you know, so like, what's this all about?
You know, I'm not sure.
I don't do this normally. It's just like when I meditate.
Yeah, a couple of questions occur to me. One is, are you resting and relaxed in meditation, or is the mind kind of, you know, trying really hard? Is there
I was really relaxed today, and I still did it.
Okay, so the other thing I know, this is... there are things related to physiology, and it could be your physiology. For me, I know that related to menopause, that as the mind gets relaxed, the hormones release for hot flash. So I end up having, often the more settled my mind gets, I have to go through several levels of that hot flash. So there is some connection in some physiologies at times with something like that happening. So I don't think it's a problem.
No,
I mean, the only thing to recognize or check into is if there's any, sometimes we can be over-pushing, over-efforting. Because I notice that if I'm over-efforting at all, the hot flashes are worse. You know, so there's more of it. So just check into that, and if you're just resting and relaxed, you might check in and see, is it the more settled and relaxed your mind get that the heat comes?
I think it's that.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds more like what, that it's a physiological thing then, and, you know. So the topic that I wanted to talk about tonight is mindfulness. So Bill's question was kind of in the thread of what I would like to explore tonight. So we'll